This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. For those of you who would like to contact me, again, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. We do appreciate those of you who take the time to write and who pray for this ministry. If you contact me by mail, you can have a copy of this program on a CD. We will also take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can read my weekly meditation there, as well as re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website, so you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. In addition, I'll need your address if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. Grace and Truth is still available as a free subscription. If you'll send me your address, I'll send it on to them. Now today, when this program plays, we will be at a kind of a milestone as far as our country is concerned. Again, we will be at 9/11. It will be 10 years from the date that the Al-Qaeda flew their airplanes into the World Trade Center. And it has left the world a different place because of the fact that we were attacked on our own soil. And we were vulnerable, and obviously if you don't think the world is a different place, just try flying out of the Los Angeles airport sometime. I haven't tried the New York ones, but I'm sure it's the same there. It becomes a real hassle because there is an attempt on the part of our federal government to try to keep terrorists of this nature from getting on airplanes. And yet we all know that terrorists will change their tactics, and the only thing that we're preventing really is what has happened before, and that's probably not what's going to happen again. The terrorists will have new ideas, new ways of attacking us if they want to. And really, it's sort of like a sniper picking out somebody on the street with a high-powered rifle. There's not a whole lot you can do about it if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, except perhaps, as the world would say, retaliate and hope that our retaliation would make people who do this sort of thing think twice with regard to attacking us. We know that there was a small percentage of Arab people, Muslims in particular, that were involved in the Trade Center attack, and yet it has caused a great deal of hatred toward Arabs in the Muslim world and a great deal of fear with regard to people who, while they might worship differently than we do, and because of that, I believe they worship wrong and will one day find out that they should have trusted in Christ. But even though they worship differently than we do, and even though they might have a different culture than we do, for the most part, they are peace-loving people. I have a gal who cuts my hair, and I know she comes from a Muslim background, and I don't think there's any way she wants to see the United States overthrown. I think she kind of liked leaving Bosnia and all of that conflict behind and coming to the United States where perhaps that conflict was not yet evident. And I have a cardiologist who's from Pakistan, and there's no way I believe my cardiologist is out to overthrow the government. He left Pakistan, he tells me, because of the corruption there. And he likes it in the United States. He likes practicing his Muslim religion because we do have the freedom to do that here. But at the same time, there is no way that I believe he's here to overthrow the United States and the culture that we believe in. But he is here. And yet we have a real fear of almost any Muslim today in our country because of the World Trade Center and all that took place there. And it was a great tragedy that a few people, a small radical group of Muslims who are not really tied to any political country in any way, would be able to destroy the trust between people's groups like they did, and would cause us to fear for our lives whenever we go out in public, as we often do. And we know that we are vulnerable. We have stadiums filled with people because of football this fall, and we'll have airplanes flying, we'll have many places, concerts and other places where we'll be vulnerable. And if a person who hates the United States wants to try to make a point, they'll make it. So we are at a milestone with regard to 9/11. And the question that it raises in my mind is, will this world ever have peace? Now, I know I said that retribution is what we're using to try to convince people not to do this to us, and yet there is a possibility that we're on the wrong track, because if we believe the Lord, He tells us in the New Testament to turn the other cheek, to pray for those who hate you, to pray for your enemies, to do good for those who despitefully use you. And He is saying, return good for evil and not evil for evil, and maybe it will break the cycle of war, distrust, and conflict. But we'll never know if that really works, because we've never had anyone who has really tried it. No country has really tried it. We build up our defenses so that we will not have to try it. And logically, in our minds, we think it won't work. But that's what the Lord says we should do. And I really wonder sometimes who's right, our natural thinking, which says, you hit me and I'm going to hit you harder, or the Lord who says, if He hits you, show Him kindness, embarrass Him, and break this cycle of violence. I'm going to leave that with you to think about, because obviously what the Lord says we should do, in our natural minds, we say it won't work. But then when it comes to salvation, that's sort of the case as well, isn't it? We don't think it will work just to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept what He did at the cross of Calvary as payment for our sins. We don't think that that will work either. We feel that we should either be baptized, or perhaps we should go to church, or we should do good for our fellow human being. We should make up for our bad. We should pay, or we should pray, or we should do something. Because after all, it would be too easy just to have God provide us a salvation that we can trust in and be free of the guilt and penalty of our sin for eternity. It would be just too easy, wouldn't it? But yet that works too. And so I sometimes wonder if our whole process of living in this life isn't to find out that the natural man who has been steeped in sin ever since Adam and Eve took of that forbidden fruit, if the mindset of the natural man isn't just completely wrong, and if the whole purpose of our lives isn't first to repent in order to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and then to find out that if we would live according to His precepts, this world would be a better place. So will there be peace? Well, I think His precepts are going to be able to be tested during the millennium. And that millennium is coming. You've heard me speak about it before. But the millennium is coming. The Lord is going to establish a righteous reign. Don't misunderstand me. Those who sin will be judged immediately. It won't take years and years and years of the law of the wheels of justice to turn before a sin is dealt with. It will be dealt with immediately. But I believe that during the millennial reign, we'll understand something of the love and compassion of a righteous God. And I don't think that the fear that we have today with regard to war will be something that is even considered at that time, because the world will be at peace. And with regard to that, I've been thinking about a passage that we find in the Psalms that tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. And I've asked myself, why should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Certainly we want to pray for the peace of the whole world, don't we? We want to have people at peace one with another. But Jerusalem is sort of the center of the universe as far as God is concerned. I wrote a meditation, and part of it says this: Jerusalem is a very important city as far as God is concerned. Melchizedek was king of Salem, or Jerusalem, long before it was established as the capital of Israel. He was also priest of the God Most High, according to Genesis 14 and verse 18. Jews think that Jerusalem is where God created the earth. However, it is best known as the city that rejected Christ and crucified Him outside its city gates. Jerusalem doesn't appear to be part of the conflict that Abraham was involved in during Melchizedek's reign. The city probably had peace at that time. It certainly had peace when Solomon reigned. There is going to be a future peace when the Lord sets up His kingdom and the true Prince of Peace reigns. But right now, at this point in history, there is no peace in Jerusalem. There is constant conflict in that city. And of course, what I'm saying about Jerusalem is true as far as the whole world is concerned. But the reason I picked Jerusalem is because of this verse, and because the word Jerusalem involves the word peace, Jerusalem. And so it's shalom. It should be a peaceable city. But right at this point in history, there is no peace in Jerusalem. There's constant conflict in that city. The Jews are certain that it is theirs by biblical decree, and the Muslims are certain that Allah wants them to control it and to kick the Jews out. So why are we to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? And this is the point I want you to get, because when peace comes there, the Savior will have come to set things right in this world, and there will be worldwide peace. Yes, peace is coming. Worldwide peace is coming. No matter how many years, no matter how many wars are fought, and no matter how many leaders promise peace, there will be no lasting peace until the Lord comes. Jerusalem is an object lesson of how the Lord works. When we truly worship the Lord, when we honor Him and His name, we have peace. When we turn away from Him, there is nothing but turmoil. Sinners cannot have true peace until they have turned from sin and self-will to the Savior. They cannot know what it is like to have the burden of sin lifted until they trust the Lord. Jerusalem has experienced that same thing. When they were worshiping Jehovah, they were blessed and were at peace. When they turned away from Him as a nation, God turned away from them and sent them into captivity. The last dispersion was in 70 AD when the Roman general Titus destroyed the temple and the city. And of course that was after the Jews had crucified the Messiah. Israel as a nation has never acknowledged that they have crucified the Messiah. God calls them rebellious children. In Isaiah 1:2 He says, "I have raised up children, and they have rebelled against me." Blessing is associated with the Jews, since the Lord was a Jew and was the descendant of Abraham. Abraham was promised that his seed would bless the earth, yet the Jews today are not at peace because they have not repented and believed in their own Messiah, and they will not be at peace until they do. Why should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Because when peace comes there, the Lord will be here reigning, and He will be the Prince of Peace. He will be finally giving the earth what we would all like to see now, a righteous ruler who judges righteously, who rules righteously, and who brings the earth peace. And I would say it appears that He's also going to bring the world prosperity. So the real question is not, is there going to be peace in the United States? Are we going to be overrun by ethnic groups that hate us, by religious groups that hate us, not only Muslims, but in some cases Hindus, and in some cases other groups? Are we going to be overrun by them? We could ask that question. We could live in fear and trepidation, but we really need to fear God and ask ourselves the question, are we at peace with God? When Christ died at the cross, He was rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But He did that so that we could have peace, so that we could be prepared for the future. And so no matter what happens, if there is another 9/11, if we are saved, we recognize that this life is just a little it's just the dress rehearsal for eternity. And the real purpose for living this life is to be right with God, so that when that day comes, we cross over to the other side, either by death or by the Lord's return, we have settled the issue of our sins and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless the thoughts we have shared today. We trust that the lesson will be understood and taken in the right vein, and that people will ask themselves if they have peace with God, and if they don't, that they'll trust Him and get that peace. Because in the world, there's going to be tribulation. The Lord says, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Bless the lesson as we commit ourselves to Thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.